about to be inspired, motivated, and your life changed. Are you ready? Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. Here's your host, David Mastin.
Welcome to the God's Love Podcast. I am your host, David Mastin. Thank y'all so much for joining me today. Wherever y'all may be joining me from, whether it's your drive into work, your afternoon or evening or after work nightcap, whatever it may be, I appreciate y'all joining me today. And I appreciate y'all showing support and love and also listening and the feedback that I've received from the last podcast has been great. And it's just good to be back and be on some type of rhythm to continue to produce good content. So thank y'all. Thank y'all so much for just joining me and joining me throughout this journey of podcasting, I guess, if you will, and speaking out my thoughts out loud, and maybe not in a traditional sermon format that some may have heard before, some not. So I appreciate just everyone giving me a chance and being available to listen and taking the time to listen and all those things. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Today's podcast episode, is really going to be structured around some recent thoughts that I've had the past couple of weeks. And I have been in like real deep contemplation in regards to like my life, where I am, the things that I've done throughout my life. I've been fortunate enough to dibble and dabble in everything. I played instruments. I've played sports. I learned how to cook. I mean, anything that you can think of that you could get into as a child. I'm not going to say anything, but majority of the activities that you can think of that you would get into as a child, I have had the privilege of in being fortunate enough to be able to experience. And I think I was having this thought process because this latter part of the year, for those of you who work in some type of business or corporation, you know you're going into quarter four, and you try to wrap up everything that you've either accomplished or you need to accomplish, and you start preparing for the next year. And one of the things, man, that I really have been just asking God for, and I don't even know if I've been asking God about this, right? Like, I don't know if I've been, like seeking God about this or trying to like resolve it in the sense of like putting action to it. But I've been thinking about just my life, where I am and who am I, right? And who am I? How did I get here to this point? Like, I was born and raised in Flint, Michigan, moved to Detroit to go to college, and then in the past 2 years, moved to Nashville, to a city a little bit, I guess you could say, south of Nashville called Murfreesboro. And I've just been contemplating, like, in my mind, man, how did I get here? Like, who am I? How did I arrive to this point? Like, all of these just different thoughts, all of these different just thoughts about self and identity, right? And as I say identity, and typically when you mention identity, it's you know, we mention that mostly towards young people, and I'm only 34. But we normally, when we talk about identity, we talk about identity in the sense of a young person, you know, somebody that's in their teens, and we talk about identity because they're growing into themselves and all of that. But I have really just been in thought about, who am I? Like, who am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to be? Like, God, who did you create me to be? And I know that everybody, there's churchy responses to that, you know, like there's the oh, you were created to be a worshiper. And while God does seek worship from us, I also believe that God has purpose for us, and God has made us, each of us, to have an identity of who we should be. And I've just really been thinking about that. Like, who am I? Like, and here's the thought that I've been struggling with. And this may be like, this may be two parts. Like, I may do this even four parts. I don't know. And I may not talk about it again after today. But this has been in my mind just about, who am I? And why did I do the things that I do? Like, you know, I played football my whole life. Well, I'm not going to say my whole life, but I played football for a good portion of my life, right? And I was sitting down, I'm going to go back. And I'll touch on the football thing. And this is all going to make sense in a minute. Now I really sound churchy, because you know, the preacher always say, just stick with me. It's going to make sense in a while. It really will make sense in a while. I'm going to go back though. I was sitting at the table. I think I had just got done eating lunch or got done eating breakfast. I can't remember which meal it was, but I know I was sitting at the table. I had just got done eating, and the thought process came to me, wow, everything I do, or I have done in my life, came from me trying to please somebody. And the reason why this thought came to my mind was because the football game was on. And I was watching it, and I was enjoying the game. Don't get me wrong. I was enjoying the game. I love football. I love all sports. But I was sitting down, and I was eating my meal. I was watching football, and I was like, man, when I started watching football, it was because I wanted to make my dad happy. I wanted my dad to feel proud of me. And my dad loved football. He loved football. He loved basketball. But he really loved football season, right? And I can remember me wanting to play football came from me wanting him to be pleased with me. Like, I really wanted him to be happy with me. And I remember even in the backyard, playing catch with my brother Ryan. He would put garbage cans and set them up to be drills. And he would tell me, hey, when you get to the garbage can, you turn left. You know, you stop, you turn left, you catch it. And I can just remember doing these things as a child. And I remember doing those drills, not because I necessarily wanted to, but I wanted my brother Ryan to be happy. I wanted him to be like, man, this is my little brother. Right. And it wasn't just with him, it was with all my brothers, it was all my family. I wanted all of them to be happy with my life and the things that I was doing. And I wanted them to be happy with the work that I was doing. And I wanted them to be just really excited about the fact that little brother's playing football. You know what I mean? That proud look that somebody gets on their face because they're pleased with your actions. And I've always wanted that look from people. I've always wanted people to love me, and I've always wanted people to be happy with me. And I was sitting at the table, I was watching this football game, and I was like, man, you know, I always have tried to do things that I thought pleased other people. And I'd never, and I started to sit down to think about, who am I? What do I like? Who should I be? And are these things that I want to be based upon the opinions and the thoughts of other people? And as I'm sitting down and I'm thinking about this, and some of y'all are thinking like, man, you must have been high thinking about thinking that deep. No, I really was, y'all. I really was just thinking like, man, okay, you know, why do I like football? You know, why do I, is this really what I like to do? Is this really what I like to sit down and do? And of course, the consensus that I came to was, man, I really do love this sport. I really enjoy watching it. I really enjoy everything about it. But it made me go to God and say, man, I have always tried to please people. Like, I've always been a people pleaser. I've always tried to please somebody. I always wanted somebody to be pleased with me, to be happy with me. And I'll tell you something, and that was football. I'll tell you something on a minor scale. Going up for prayer at the end of service. Y'all, let me tell you. The anxiety that runs through my body when it is altar call time, because I feel like I should go up for prayer, but I don't want other people to judge me for going up for prayer. And I don't want other people to feel like they know what's going on with me or wrong with me because I'm going up for prayer. And I'm sitting in my seat, in my chair, literally like tossing back and forth, trying to figure out like, do I go up for prayer? Do I not? do I stay where I am? Do I not stay where I am? Like, how do I get over this feeling that I am feeling currently right now? Like, and then at the end of it, I just am like, I ain't going, you know, like I'm not going to go. and there's this toss, and it's not because I don't want to go for prayer. But it's because I'm afraid of what other people may think. Not on top of that, if you are a minister, and of course I'm in Nashville. Nobody's heard me preach in Nashville. But if you're from your local church, let's say, you know, you go someplace local and you've ministered there before, and the anxiety of, man, I need prayer, but I'm ashamed or afraid to even walk down this aisle to go up for prayer because I'm afraid of what other people may think or whatever. And I felt like as I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about this and I felt, and I'm not going to say, you know, this is what God told me, but I felt in my spirit, I felt on the inside, something really say to me, you care too much of what other people think about your life. Like, you care way too much about what other people think in regards to your life, who you should be, who you shouldn't be. Like, you care literally way too much. And I want to even say that for you, those of you who are listening to me. I don't think that's just for me. I think that's for you too. Not everybody who's listening, but for some people who are listening, I feel like you have spent way too much time contemplating and making decisions based off of what you feel other people think about you. And here's the reality. They could be thinking that, or they couldn't be thinking about you at all. Not only could they not be thinking about you at all, if they are thinking about you, that is more predicated upon their problem than it is yours. And I think if you and I can get to the point to where we start making decisions and we start focusing on the gifts that God has given us, the callings that God has given us, the desires that God has for our lives, we would be more satisfied with that end result than the end result of what we think somebody else's vision is for our lives. And I had to really think about this and say, out of 34 years of living, I can only count a handful of decisions that I've made that was in the benefit of God and myself. Everything else was based upon what I thought somebody else was wanted to do and was too weak, too scared to say, no, I won't do that. No, this isn't what I want. I'm going to tell you another, give you another example of this. I'm at a restaurant, right? I go to a restaurant and they bring me out mashed potatoes, but I ask for macaroni and cheese. And let's just say, or to the extent of the food was just nasty, right? Terrible. There has been times, and I don't do this all the time, most of the time now, because I realize the value of a dollar and I'm not going to pay for anything that I can't eat or that's disgusting. But I remember there are times where food could be cold, food could be nasty. I would still eat it and be like, oh, I'll still pay for it. Because I didn't want someone else to feel bad that I didn't like the food, or I didn't want the waiter to feel a certain way. I didn't want somebody to look at me a certain way. Even when it came down to clothes, right? Go back to, if we all go back to being a child, to our childhood days, some of us, and I won't say all of us, because some people didn't think like this probably, but I know a lot of people did think, man, you know, I wish I had the best clothes. Y'all, listen. Back in the day, Jabot jeans was real popular, y'all. I mean, these Jabot jeans was popular, okay? Couldn't afford it. My parents couldn't afford those jeans. And I mean, but I wanted them, right? I wanted them because they was the best. I thought they was the best jeans, all this kind of stuff. I remember Mr. Allen's having a pair on clearance. It wasn't even jeans. It was a black pair of shorts. It was a black pair of shorts. And I begged and pleaded with my mom to purchase me these black Jabot jeans because I could be totally botching the name, right? But I wanted them. I saw people wear them. I saw people in the music videos having. I begged my mom. She got them for me. I wore them. And when I thought about it, like, I wasn't wearing them because I liked them. I was wearing them because I saw them on TV, or I saw somebody in a music video and I wanted to be the people in the music video or on the TV, and I wanted girls to like me, and I wanted people to think I was cool. And so I bought these shorts, and guess what? Nobody thought I was cool. It's just a total waste. and it's funny to me now, right? But in reality, a lot of us still to this day, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, we still think about what other people think, or we still care about, rather, what other people think in regards to our lives, to what we put on our bodies, to when we go out with public, even relationships. Listen, some of us got in relationships because we thought it was the popular thing to do and not the thing to do that we wanted to do. Or it was what the other person wanted and you felt bad, didn't want to turn the other person down, or you didn't have enough confidence in your own self to say, yo, this isn't what I want, thought this was the best you could get, and then you settled with this person. And I often think, where would I be had I made the decision to be a God decision, or what God wanted to be for my life, rather than focusing on just what I thought other people might want to be for my life, or even just myself, right? Here's the deal. I was doing all this thinking, and the scripture that started to come to mind, because y'all know that, you know, everything that I do, I try to make sure that I have some type of scripture or whatever to kind of reference my life. And I feel like a lot of times God speaks to me through the Bible and through his word. And that's kind of how I judge where I am. And I remember I was trying to think like, God, okay, this is what I've been dealing with. You know, what in your word can I go to that kind of can direct me on this? And he took me to Jeremiah 2. And in Jeremiah chapter 1. And in Jeremiah chapter 1 is really recapping on how the prophet Jeremiah was called from God and what the things that God had for him and all this kind of stuff about himself, right? And I want to say this real quick before I like read this. You have to be careful even when you are trying to do things that just you like, because here's the deal. There's a ton of things that you like that are not necessarily always good for you. And you know that, right? Like, for example, myself. I love chicharron from, and there's this Mexican place. This is Mexican corner store that makes it fresh every day, right? But I also know that I'm taking pills for high blood pressure, all this kind of stuff, right? If I know this, me, though I do like chicharron and I want to go eat some, and again, excuse me if I'm mispronouncing that, and I go to the store, and I grab some of that, I know that's going to bother my blood. I know that's going to be bad. There's things that even you like in your life that you know is not good for me. This is not good for me. This is something that I shouldn't do. This is not who I want to be. This isn't who I was created to be, right? And so you can't necessarily rely on like what you like alone. You can't necessarily rely on what people think about you alone. So the only thing that stays consistent in our lives is what God thinks about us. And this is what God said to Jeremiah when he was calling him. He said, in Jeremiah chapter number 1, verse 6, it says, "Then I said, Ah, Lord," and I'm reading from the ESV version, which is the English Standard Version. It says, "Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put his hand, put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build into plant." Here it is. Jeremiah is being called from God. In the verses before, God tells him, "Jeremiah, before you were," and I think this is a good point before we dive into what we just read. The verses before that, in verse 5, it talks about, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." In other words, God knew who Jeremiah was supposed to be before he was born. God had a purpose for him before he exited his mother's womb. God had a plan and a purpose for Jeremiah. Likewise, God has a purpose and a plan for us. And sometimes in that purpose and the plan, we get in the way. I'm going to show you where Jeremiah gets in the way. Jeremiah says, the next verse, verse 6 says, "Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." Jeremiah gets in the way of what God is trying to tell him he should be. Who else would know who you should be besides the one who created us? Who else would be able to identify who we were made and created to be besides the one who created all of us? Meaning, you are a product of God's design, and God has a purpose and a plan and an identity for you. Where we destroy things and mess things up is as soon as God tells us or reveals to us what we should be, or sometimes when God gives us a glimpse of it, the first thing we say is, nah, God, that can't be me. Nah, that can't be what you got for me. Let me tell you the most annoying thing that I hear is when men or women tell me, nah, God ain't calling me to preach. I could never do that. I ain't doing that. No, no, no. And most of the time they do it to be like false humble. You know what I mean? Especially in the church, it's just false humility. But the reason that annoys me so much is because who are you to say what you are and not going to do when it's what God called you to do? Like, where do you get off? Like on what earth and planet did we come from to where we think we can recreate ourselves and tell God who we are not going to be? It shouldn't be a thing, right? What's my point? My point is God has already ordained a purpose for you. He already has a plan for you, but you got to get out the way. Like, you got to really get out the way. It's not God's fault you're not who God wants you to be. That ain't God's fault. It is not God's fault that you have not become who you should be. And more importantly, who you should be in Him. You're not what you should be in Him because you got in the way. Even when we blame other people, you know, we blame relationships. Well, God probably told you not to enter that relationship in the first place. That was probably not a God-ordained relationship, whether it be a relationship as in spouse or girlfriend, boyfriend, or just friends, whatever it may be. It could very well be that this was not an ordained relationship from God. And it not being an ordained relationship from God, let me tell you, the worst thing that you can connect yourself to in your walk with Christ is somebody who is not in your, the worst thing that you can do in a relationship with God, in a relationship is to get connected with people. This is what I wanted to say. Get connected with people who do not have the same vision, or to get connected with people who morally don't believe what you believe, and or get connected with people who are bad for where and what you should do in Christ. Those people will wreck your lives.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.
Get in the way sometimes when God shares with us what His vision is for us, what His purpose is for us, what our identity in Him is. And we screw it up when we ourselves either because we get connected to the wrong people, or even ourselves destroy that what God has for us because we don't believe it. And so we go against it. And we make these terrible choices. And it's not to judge you for any choices that you make. We all do it. We all have made bad decisions. I've made bad decisions. I've made bad choices. I've done stupid things, man. And sometimes I look back and I'm like, man, that was the dumbest thing I could have ever done. Like, what was wrong with me? But we get in the way. But this is what I love about God. The response God gives to Jeremiah when he inserts himself and gets in the way is he says, do not say I am only a youth. In other words, he does not condone him denying his identity through him. Jesus will never condone you disowning who you should be in him. Jesus will never be okay with that. Never. Jesus will never be like, oh, okay, you don't want to do what I want you to do. Okay. No, he says, wait a minute. Don't tell me that you can't do this. Don't tell me you can't be who I called you to be. He says, to all whom I send you, this is what, man, this is what I love about God, is that when we get in the way, he reaffirms who we should be and then gives us security in the fact that he is with us. Notice here, he didn't tell Jeremiah in any of the scriptures that I've just read to y'all. He didn't tell Jeremiah that he wasn't going to face any problems, that he wasn't going to face any oppositions, because Jeremiah did. He faced a ton of problems. He faced a ton of opposition. All these different things. People hated him coming around. All of these different issues Jeremiah had, right? But he says, he gives him, first, he doesn't condone what he says about himself. He doesn't condone Jeremiah's denial or dismissal of what God's will is for his life. But he reaffirms and provides Jeremiah security that everywhere I send you and everything that I'm going to have you do, I am going to be behind your back. Verse 8, he tells them, don't even be afraid of any opposition. Why? Because I'm going to have your back. Listen, this is what I love about when we secure our identity in Christ Jesus. The scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? In other words, as long as I am in Christ Jesus, and I am accepting of the identity and the purpose that God has for us, and that is what I am choosing to walk into every day, it does not mean that I won't face opposition, because I will. It doesn't mean that I won't face scrutiny, because I will. It doesn't mean that I won't lose friends, because I will. It doesn't mean that family is going to always love me, because sometimes they won't. It doesn't mean that every single time you and I face something that it's going to all be puppies and roses and all those things. No, it doesn't mean that at all. But what it does mean is that we can count on and trust God that he's going to have our backs through it all. We can count on and trust God that he is going to have our backs no matter what we are going through in our lives, because we have made the decision that who God has for us and what God has purpose for us is what we are choosing to walk into. I say that to say, at the end of this contemplation that I'm dealing with, I started asking myself a question. All those times I played different sports, all those times that I did this and I did that, all this time that I've been living for other people or trying to please other people, or all of these times that I've done things that was just in vain, what if I, in these 34 years, said to myself, I'm going to concentrate on being what God wants me to be? Not meaning that you don't ever make any mistakes or that being on that journey is perfect and roses, but what if this whole time I've been wasting time trying to do what I thought everybody else liked or what everybody else wanted, or even being selfish and just filling my own desires? Where could I be and how satisfied with my life would I be if I made my purpose to being what God wanted me to be? I think I could have avoided a lot of heartache. I think I could have avoided a lot of waste opportunities. And I think that even contentment and satisfaction would be even greater had I concentrated more on what Christ had for me instead of trying to please everybody else in my life. And I say that to you. Your life is a whole lot better when you have made it a purpose to let God be the center and let everything else be what it's going to be. You are created and you are special in Christ Jesus. God has a plan and a purpose for you. And it's a great plan. But he needs you to get out of the way and trust him that he knows what's best for your life. There's a passage of scripture, and I'm done. Man, I sound just silly churchy after that. But after saying it, but there's a scripture, and it's the scripture is a popular one. Psalms 23, and it talks about the Lord being our shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. And me and my brother, David Robinson, real close friend of mine, he said to me, David, a sheep needs a shepherd to guide him to knowing what's green grass and what's not green grass. What's good water to drink, what's not good water to drink. Which is why David talks about the Lord being his shepherd and he shall not want. Because he trusts in God to provide with him all of his needs. And I say that to y'all today. You by yourself do not know what's good and what's not good. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. We know the simple things of life. But God is the only person who has gotten it right every time. And God is the only one who has a plan for your life, who has a consistent plan and purpose for your life, and is willing to be there for you in every step of that life. And he knows what's best for you. So if you've been thinking about, man, what am I supposed to be? What's my identity? What's my purpose? What have I been doing? If you are somebody who has always consistently tried to please other people with your actions, so much so to where you don't even know who you're supposed to be anymore, or you don't even know what you like anymore, I ask that you spend some time with God and allow him to direct your paths. And of course, all won't do this. But I pray those that hear me at the sound of my voice, that starting today, you make the decision that I am going to spend my life in the remainder of my days focusing on what God wants for me and what His purpose is for my life. So I can be fulfilled and so that I can be used by God and so that I can fulfill what is my great calling on this huge earth. And you might just be shocked how great of an impact you make on this world. Let me pray. Father, I thank you so much for my brother and sister who's listening to this call or who's listening to this podcast. Father, I thank you so much for just what you are doing in their lives. And I pray, God, that you bless them. I pray, God, that you help them. I pray that you give them strength, Lord. I pray that you direct them on the path that they should go and that you reveal to them what your purpose is in their lives. I pray that you show them what your will is and that they continue to excel in your knowledge about themselves and about you. Father, give us grace. Have mercy upon us. Keep us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all again so much for hanging out with me today. Y'all have an amazing weekend, amazing day, whatever, whenever, whenever, wherever you are listening to this. I appreciate each and every one of you. Peace.
Thank you for listening to the God's Love Podcast. Subscribe, share, and stream on all podcast streaming outlets.